Those days when you would tie a little string around your finger so you wouldn't forget, and then someone would say, what's with the string? You go, it's so I don't forget. So you don't forget what? That's what I'm trying to remember. God chooses to remember your sin no more. God chooses to remember to forget. Tonight we celebrate justification by faith alone, that it's God's grace completely, entirely alone, that God isn't going to just use some whiteout so that he can kind of, in a cheap way, cover our sin, but God is going to use the blood of his Son, Jesus, so that he can completely eradicate our sin, completely get rid of our sin, so that it's never there anymore. We are justified by faith alone, without works of the law. That means you and I cannot contribute nothing to our salvation. Even our faith in Jesus is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Helpless look to thee for grace, naked come to thee for dress. Fall I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Helpless come to thee for grace. If you know what grace is all about, then you know what a gift salvation is. That God would make atonement for our sins, that God would make us righteous, undeserving as we are, freely for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord alone. Since the Son makes you free, because Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and free for service to others. In the name of Jesus. So when you think about freedom, when you think about the truth, because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, and in John chapter 8, the Son makes you free, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They're used interchangeably. You see, the Son of God, Jesus, is the truth. The truth makes us free. Remember the courtroom scene? Maybe the old Perry Mason lawyer movies and shows? And someone would put their left hand on the Bible, and someone would raise their right hand, and they would be asked, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? And you would say, I do. Right? Truth is important because the opposite of truth is often falsehood or lies. According to John 8, there are two fathers. The Heavenly Father, who forgives us freely for Jesus' sake, who makes us children of the way, the truth, the life. And there's the Father who is the devil. And he's the father of all lies and liars. Who's your father? Time for a paternity test, a blood test, but we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We know who our Father is, and our Father knows who we are. The truth makes us free. And the truth is not just some kind of a cognitive principle or idea that you can prove or disprove. The truth is not some kind of a subjective, autonomous opinion that is relative to one person or another. The truth is Jesus, and he is absolute, always, forever. I don't know about you, but I worry about those liars. I worry about those who would deceive. When you go to purchase something, aren't you at least a little bit concerned if you're getting a good deal, a square deal? Or if someone is trying to rip you off? Julie noticed that in her car, the gauge indicated that there was a brake fluid problem, and it was low. There was nothing in the reservoir. I said, well, you better take my car to work on Tuesday. I'll take your car over to Adamson's. Well, later they called me and they said, yep, it's a busted brake fluid line, and you can't drive it. It's dangerous. Can you imagine driving 50, 60, 70 miles an hour on the road, and whoops, I got to hit the brakes. Whoops, there's no brake. That's an accident waiting to happen, isn't it? So the car had to stay there, and they were supposed to call me with an estimate, which they never did. And finally, late Friday afternoon, we got the car back. $171 for labor. I said to the lady as I paid her, because I do all my automotive stuff at Adamson. I mean, you got to trust somebody, right? So I said, well, how many hours are we talking about here? She says, well, 1.3. I thought, man, I wish I made that kind of money. And then I got home, and I'm reading the fine print on the invoice, and the mechanic had some notes there as far as what he did, and he puts 1 hour of labor. I thought, $171 per hour? I thought, now I really wish I made that kind of money, you know? Now, what should I do? Should I live by suspicion and doubt and faithlessness, assuming that everybody's out to get me? That there's a crook around every corner? I mean, I suppose I could have just gone a block further down. There's actually a Ford dealer. It was a Ford Fiesta car, right? Or I could go in there and say, you know, what would you guys have charged me for this? Did I get a good deal? But think of the time I would spend. In the end, it's possible for all of us to get taken advantage of, to be ripped off. Because Satan is the father of liars and deception and falsehood. And Satan loves nothing more than to make us keep wasting our time on trying to figure out if someone is giving us a square deal or ripping us off. Now, I'm like you are. I know that adage. I believe in it. Once a fool, shame on me. Twice a fool, shame on you. Three times, nobody's fool, right? You know. So if the Son sets you free, and he does, if the truth sets you free, and he does, then you're free. I mean completely free. Where we're not going to be driven by our doubts anymore or driven by our suspicions, wondering who's out to get us. Because we already know who's out to get us with salvation and mercy and goodness. And it's our Heavenly Father who sent us His Son, Jesus. You know the Gospel of John? Truth is a really big thing. I mean, sometimes when you're reading the Gospel of John, just circle every time you see the word true or truly, truly, amen, amen, or truth. When the Gospel begins, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And from His fullness have we all received grace upon grace. You see, God's grace for you is God's truth for you. The Son is God's truth. The person of Jesus, your Savior. And He sets you free. Not just with a little bit of whiteout. I mean, it's not just a matter of saying, you're going to be free from hunger. That's good. You're going to be free from homelessness. Oh, that's good. You're going to be free from unemployment. That's good. You're going to be free from cancer. Ooh, that's really good. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't want us to be slaves that only have the here and now. He wants us to be sons and daughters that have eternity. So He frees us from sin, from death, and from the devil. That's the big stuff. That's the forever stuff. And our Heavenly Father has forever for you. Since the Son, the truth, sets us free, we are really, truly free. What does that look like? I'm not a big country music fan, but I do know the name Randy Travis. You know that name? Some people got to know the name Randy Travis. He used to be in some movies, you know. I mean, he lived a troubled youth. He's about 2 years younger than I am, about 57 years old. And he was running from the law all the time, getting in trouble when he was a kid. One of six kids that grew up. And then, over the course of time, as he was writing songs about his life, and as he was singing songs, he was born again into the Christian faith. And so his life became an opportunity to tell people about the gospel, the grace of God. And then 3 years ago, with some kind of a virus that attacked his heart, he ended up having a massive stroke. As of last March, the doctor said, this is so bad that it's time to give up and pull the plug. And his wife, Mary, she said, you got to give me some sign here. You ready to keep fighting the good fight? She held his hand. She said, evidently, Randy had a little talk with Jesus, because he squeezed my hand and a single teardrop cascaded down his cheek. Well, he didn't give up the fight because the trumpet wasn't sounding and God wasn't calling him home yet. And so on October 16th, a Sunday in Nashville, they had the Country Music Hall of Fame Awards, and he was inducted in there. And he fought back by the grace of God, and there he is in a wheelchair. And as they're presenting him the award, Randy Travis, he stands up. Amazing grace, how sweet. And everybody was singing with him, that saved a wretch like me. The impossible became possible, and it was his wife, Mary, who said, Randy and Jesus, they got the last laugh. Randy looked death in the face, and death blinked. Folks, you see what she's standing in front of you? This is God's miracle. We testify to the truth. This isn't luck and chance. This is the grace of God. And when God graces us with healing, it's so that we can be people of purpose, proclaiming the truth that Jesus is Lord and no one else. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. You remember how John ended his gospel with the trial scene and stuff there toward the end? And Jesus is being interrogated by Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate said to them, so you're a king? And Jesus says, you say that I'm a king. Eventually, you know, they're kind of, Pilate is just confused. He says, what is truth? Jesus is truth and way and life. Not one option out of many, but the way, the truth, the life. Pilate's looking at the truth in the face, and he's still got the shackles on because he can't see grace, amazing grace. Randy Travis knows what it looks like because it redeemed a lost sinner, and God brought him back from the grave again so that with whatever time he has left, he can use it to preach the good news. In John chapter 8, it begins with Jesus speaking the truth. It doesn't surprise us because in John 3, Jesus speaks the truth to a very learned member of the Sanhedrin named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus couldn't understand the truth. You got to be born again of water and the Spirit. You mean I got to crawl back into my mama's womb and come out a second time? That's impossible. You got that, Nicodemus. You didn't decide to be born the first time. What makes you think that God's going to let you decide to be born again? You got to be born of the water and the Spirit, brother. You see? That's the truth. And in John 4, Jesus goes to Jacob's well. You remember. There's a Samaritan woman that he has a rendezvous with. He said, if you knew who it was that was asking for a drink of water, you would have said, sir, give me the water that you're offering, because it's living water. She says, I want some of that water. Then I don't have to come out here every day at 12 o'clock noon in the heat of the sun, for crying out loud. Jesus said, I got it right here for you. Go get your husband. I'm not married. I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you got that right. You're speaking the truth. You've been married 5 times. And the man you're shacking up with now, he ain't your husband either. Oh, you're a prophet. Can we talk about worship? Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim? Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, you want to worship the Father? You can only worship the Father in spirit and truth. Father, in spirit, Holy Spirit, and truth. Jesus says, I'm the truth. There's the Trinity, folks. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can worship God. The woman, as you may remember, she left her water jar because now she was the vessel of the Christ, the living water. And she went to the Samaritan village and said, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. He couldn't be the Christ, could he? And they went out. And they stayed, remained, continued with Jesus and he with them. And many came to faith. And they confessed, this man is the Savior of the world. So in John 8, Jesus is teaching in the temple, and they bring, these religious leaders, they bring a woman who's been caught in the act of adultery. According to the law of Moses, she's supposed to be stoned. What do you say, Jesus? Remember what he says? Whoever is without sin, you throw the first stone. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they started walking away. Embarrassing, isn't it? We know we're not blameless. We know we got enough sin to fill up a whole dump truck, right? Jesus looks at the woman and he says, you and I, we got to talk about the truth. Where's your condemners? Oh, there are none. Jesus said, the truth. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. So if the Son sets you free, and he does, because he's the way, the truth, and the life, you will be free indeed. That's the good news. That Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. That he's not just going to use some whiteout. That you don't have to say, well, okay, Pastor, can I just have one of those post-it notes so I don't forget this by the time I get home? He's not going to mess around like that. Supposedly this past Thursday, the president gave out like 98, what do you call those commutation things, you know? Commuting the sentences, clemencies? 98 of them, though. For almost 900 in his presidency, that's more than the 11 presidents before him, right? Combined. And as important as all of those things are, there's only one thing that matters. Clemency and pardon and commutation. For the wages of sin, which is death. But the free gift of God? Eternal life for you. For you. For you. For you. For you all. Because the Son is the truth. And the truth has made you free. from sin, death, and the devil, free for service to others without worry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.